Now, for those of you that are here this morning, you know that I'm continuing a series on The Lord is Coming.
Amen.
Thanks for the amen. This morning the topic was that there's an appointed time. You know, it's something that Christians have believed since the time that Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to go away. And he told them that the night that he had the Lord's Supper with them in the upper room. And he said, I'm not going to be able to talk with you much longer, but I'm going to go away, and where I'm going, you can't go with me, but you will know the way.
Right.
And Thomas came back and asked him, well, Lord, if we don't know where you're going, how are we going to know the way? And that's when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
And I'll show you the Father, and then you'll know me. And he said, well, Philip spoke up and said, well, show us the Father. That'll be sufficient. And he said, have I been with you so long and you've not known me?
Yeah.
And it comes a real revelation of the Godhead there.
Yes.
That Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament in flesh.
Amen.
And from that time until this one, there's been a couple of mysteries that the church and the believers have talked about. One of them is this place he goes to and place he prepares. But the thing they've anticipated is this him coming back.
Yes.
And it's being preached and believed for 2,000 years until it's become an old story.
All right.
And some people have lost their enthusiasm for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really don't know. Well, my grandmother talked about that, and my great-great-grandpa talked about it, and you read it in church history. Well, it still hadn't happened, but I want you to know that it's still going to happen.
Yes.
In the scriptures, 80% of what Jesus talked about as far as him being on earth, his first coming, his passion, his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He says 80% more about him going away and going to come back.
Yeah.
And not only did he say that in John 14, I go to prepare a place that where I am, and I'll come back after you so that where I am, there you can be also. And I tried to show this morning how curious his disciples were to have him talk like this. You're going to go someplace and you won't tell us where, but yet we're going to come. How are we going to go if we don't know? Well, his return has been a secret, and his catching away will be a secret. There's been a term applied to this that they call rapture. It comes from the word in 1 Thessalonians 4 where it talks about shall be caught up, shall be wrapped. And it's an uplifting, but it's when you really study the word, it's more of somebody like just somebody like a eagle swooping down and snatching something out of the way. And there's going to come a time when there's going to be believers that's going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
Now, in the early church age, in history and tradition, the people who were alive became alarmed and disturbed because they were expecting the Lord to come, and the question arose among them, what's going to happen to those that have died? Are they going to miss this? They're not going to get to go where he is? Until the Apostle Paul comes along and teaches us in 1 Thessalonians that I'd not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Those that are asleep will come first. You'll not leave them behind, but the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, in Bible school, I was taught that the dead in Christ were going to rise first because they had 6 foot further to go. They had to get a head start to get even with us so we could all go together. But it was Paul trying to clarify the second coming of the Lord that those which are asleep are going to be there also.
Right.
And regardless of what church age they died in, the first through the sixth or the seventh, you don't worry about them. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we are to comfort one another with these words.
Yes.
Now, there's been all kind of beliefs about the rapture. And we've been working on it, on the development of it now, for about 6 or 7 Sundays. And I'll be honest with you, I concluded this morning, I told you the experience that I had Wednesday night about 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, it's possible that it's happened to me because I've been feeding myself these scriptures and the quotes and the teachings Brother Branham gave on it so much that Wednesday night, after a couple of hours sleep, I was awakened. And I'll tell you, folks, if the rapture feels anything like I was feeling Wednesday night at 1 o'clock, Thursday morning, I'll tell you, you don't want to miss it.
Amen.
I believe like Enoch went there one day and took a walk, and he just kept walking. He didn't come back.
Yes.
Amen. When he put his foot down, it just didn't stay. He just walked up some stairs and walked off this earth, and it's because he walked with God and he pleased God.
Amen.
And I believe there's an appointed time when we which are alive and remain, we're going to begin to see our loved ones. And I think that's what's going to change us. And I was planning on doing it tonight, but since I didn't get through this morning, I want to take the few minutes to finish this morning's sermon about the appointed time. And to distinguish the difference in your minds and your hearts about the appearing of Christ and the second coming of the Lord. And the second coming is, he will not come to this earth, but we will meet him in the air when the dead in Christ rise. So
Amen.
You should be able to pick up now that when you begin to see your loved ones that are asleep in Christ, you should know that the rapture is at hand. Now, there's been some supernatural events took place in my lifetime so powerful with the moving of the Holy Ghost that there are some people on this earth that believe the Lord has already come. Well, if he's already come and we've had the marriage supper of the Lamb, then we're in the millennium. And if Satan is bound now, I'll be honest, I don't want to be around when he's turned loose.
Amen.
So I'll have to say that I think they've got something misplaced somewhere. And I don't want to fault them or de-Christianize them, but I'll tell you, folks, the thing that we all want to see happen to us is we want to see people become the sons of God. The whole world's groaning for that. If we are led by the Spirit, we become the sons of God. And the more we learn to listen to that and obey that, the more the Holy Spirit will teach us how to be like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I was privileged to have known Brother Branham. And there are people in this world today that they believe that Brother Branham was Jesus Christ. And a lot of people want to criticize him for that, but that's not what he believed. He said to substitute him for Jesus Christ made him Antichrist. But he said, if you say that Jesus Christ lives in me, I pray that you're 100% correct.
Yes, amen.
Now, I was in Australia one time preaching in 1970. And some of the full gospel businessmen over there did not want to let Brother Carl Williams and I give our testimony because they said we would talk about William Branham, and there were people who worshipped him, who prayed to him, who baptized in his name, who believed that he was Jesus Christ. And I have to say, that is true. There are some people that believe that and act like that. But that's not what Brother Branham believed.
No.
But I asked the leader in Sydney, Australia, why hasn't anybody ever mistaken you for Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I haven't lived that kind of life. I said, well, isn't that wonderful? Brother Branham lived such a life that some people give it a carnal interpretation and they believed he was Jesus Christ. I would like to live a life to where people wouldn't see Perry Green, but would see the life of Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you be honest and say you'd like to come to that place in your life too? That you'd like to be so close to God and so yielded to the Holy Spirit that people would look at you, and instead of seeing you, they would see Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to know that the Scripture teaches that that will happen to people. They will become adopted sons and daughters of God. Brother Branham said it simply, there'll come a time when your name will be as good on the check as the Lord's was. Now, there is an appearing, and Brother Branham very distinctly makes a difference. He says there, the appearing of Jesus Christ is different than the coming of the Lord. And that's what I was concluding with you this morning, was there was a few quotes that Brother Branham made about the appearing of the Lord that I did not get to give to you. So I would like to finish that tonight and give you those quotes where Brother Branham talked about the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ being two different things. We read you a quote this morning from the message, Things That Are to Be, that Brother Branham preached in 1965, December the 5th. Now, I thought it was of interest to inform you that that's one night after he preached the tape Rapture in Yuma, Arizona. The next night, he went up to Rialto, California, and preached a message entitled Things That Are to Be. And in there he said, And I'm beginning to get old and know that my days are numbered. And you have that one, Mark, for the screen. It was the first one on that page. I read it this morning. My days are numbered, and know now that these young men can take this message and sweep it out to the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Can you find it, or have I lost you? Paragraph 14, yes. And sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. Now, let me remind you that in June 11, 1933, when Brother Branham was a young man, had his first revival meeting, and he baptized people in the Ohio River. As he was baptized in the 17th person, his testimony throughout his whole ministry, there was a pillar of fire come down out of the heavens. About 4,000 people seated on the riverbank. Many heard the voice, some saw the light. But it gave a commission to Brother Branham and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord, you have a message that will forerun the second coming.
Amen.
So that was the ministry that William Branham was given by God all of his life. And in the 50s, when the great revivals, deliverance revival started, everybody respected that and believed that.
Amen.
Now, this is what Brother Branham is referring to here now. He said, now these young men can take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. If he doesn't come in my generation, which I'm hoping to see him, I look daily for him and watch, keeping myself prepared for that hour. Now, in 1958, that was 65, in a message, Will the Church Go Before the Tribulation? He preached in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and it was March the 9th. And I want you to notice this now, because we have to cut short here on account of the prayer line. Did you notice what the angel said? I can do nothing till you come hither. And he's talking about the angels delivering Lot and his family from Sodom. I can't do nothing till you come hither. What was it? It was a message of deliverance. And before one speck of fire could fall from heaven, Lot had to get out of Sodom. And before one drop of rain fell from heaven, Noah went into the ark. And before the atom bomb can strike this nation, the church will go in the rapture to meet the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And if the Sputniks and the missiles are set and the hammers are pulled back, the angels are all standing in order. Hallelujah. The great quarters of heaven is crowded full. The harps are all in tune. The great bands are already practiced up. There's a homecoming time pretty soon for the church of the living God who's been waiting his coming.
Yes.
Everything's in order. I'm so glad. I'm getting so tired. Oh, for that great hour. And to think that we've had a part in this junction time. Now, Brother Branham said, to think that we played a part in this thing that's going to happen now. Remember the commission he had. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed from heaven. Now remember, before the rain fell, Noah was in the ark. Before the fire fell, Lot was out of Sodom. For the angel said, I can't do nothing until you come hither. I've got the lever in my hand to pull and make the fires fall from heaven. And I think that's exactly the angel of destruction is holding the hand of Russia when the atomic bombs until the church comes together as one great body. Now, how many believe that's going to happen?
Amen.
I can't do nothing till you come hither. Oh, if that isn't a blessed assurance. And if we see everything set in order, the going home of the church is in order. Here's the angel of God with the same message, performing the same signs, the same wonders, everything set in order.
Amen.
Now, Brother Bram's talking about supernatural things here.
Yes, sir.
This is something that the Lord promised to reveal. In Malachi 4, it says, Elijah, a man like Elijah, will come and return the hearts of the children back to that of the fathers.
Yes.
He also said that if there's ever another branch put forth from that, the book of Acts, there'll be another one written behind it.
Sure.
So in these last days, we are promised a supernatural presentation of God. And men don't perform miracles. That's Jesus Christ that does miracles.
Amen.
It's men taught and led by the Holy Ghost in their lives that they manifest and show Jesus Christ to people. And that's the reality of God. Now, the people who don't believe in miracles, I ask, how can they believe in a resurrection? If they don't believe in healing, how can they believe in a resurrection?
Amen.
When you get somebody that preaches against divine healing and the supernatural, you can't tell me that they can believe that we're going to be raptured or the dead in Christ are going to rise.
Amen.
If he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what he did then, he's able to do now.
Amen.
And if we can see what God did with other men, we can say that was an appearing of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because that was not those men. That was God in those men.
Yes.
And that was the Son of Man revealing himself in human flesh. And this is what God did with Brother Branham.
Right.
He came along and Brother Branham said, a part of the junction is here. That there was such a move of God in Brother Branham's life that he wasn't the only one, but he was one who even men like David Harrell, a professor of history from the University of Alabama, when he wrote his book, All Things Are Possible, he took and he researched all the divine healing, the deliverance men, from Brother Allen to Brother Code or Brother Jaggers, to Rice, to Hall, to all of them. And he came to this conclusion. He said, without a doubt, God used the man, William Branham, to spearhead the divine healing deliverance ministry that the world has today.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't make Brother Branham anything any better than anybody else, except that we recognize, just like we did, we believe in justification. But not everybody knows that Martin Luther was used by God to spearhead that doctrine.
Amen.
It's the same with Pentecost. It's the same thing that Paul did. God uses men.
Yes. Right.
And when God does something with a man, that is him revealing himself through those men. That doesn't make them the Lord, but we are sons and daughters of God. And on top of that, in this last generation, there's to be a bride. And she's to be a word bride. And she should be like her husband. If he's the word and she has the word, then the two of them, that should manifest that. And when God does something, the glory should not go to the person. It should go to the Lord. That's God making himself available. Appearing to us now. That's not him coming back after us. That's him being with us now, manifesting himself, which the whole world is groaning and travailing for.
Amen.
This is what Brother Branham is trying to show us in these particular statements he's making. Now, if that isn't a blessed assurance, and we see everything set in order, the going home of the church is in order. Here's the angel of God with the same message, performing the same signs, the same wonders, everything set in order.
Amen.
How many want to be a part of that?
Yes.
Amen.
Then proving his word in 1964. I'm sorry, have I skipped one here? What have I done again? Got a page out of order? I can't find spiritual food in due season. There it is. I did get a page out of order. Sorry. Now, 1965, July the 18th. It's paragraph 167. Now, if he appeared to us in a physical body, looked just exactly like Hoffman's head of Christ at 33, and that's the way Brother Branham saw the Lord, the first time he ever saw him, when he's praying for his father there in Jeffersonville, out in that sagebrush field. That's the reason Brother Branham liked the Hoffman's head of Christ at 33, because he said that's the way the Lord looked to him when he appeared to him. I wouldn't accept it. He said, I wouldn't accept that if one came with blood in his hand. When he comes himself, every eye shall see him, every tongue shall confess him. And as the lightning cometh from the east unto the west, so shall it be. We don't believe these cults and clans. We believe God is the Word. But he embodies himself, taking your body and my body, and gives you gifts, gives me gifts. And through these gifts, he makes himself known. That's the secret food. No matter how much he would make himself known by me, you've got to believe it. You may see God in somebody else, but if you're going to be a part of that body, you need to let God be in you.
Amen.
I find that to be a big difference in Brother Branham and some of the others I've known. It was always what they did and who they were. But Brother Branham right here says, God may do that with me, but you've got to do that.
Yes.
You need to believe that.
Yes. Amen.
Do you believe that? Now, if he will manifest himself in that manner, will you believe him? Mm-hmm. With all your heart, you'll believe him. How wonderful just waiting on him, just waiting to see what he says. Amen. Now, in proving his word, which he preached in California, which is in 65, the end of his ministry. It's April the 26th, paragraph 249. And with our heads bowed, are there people here that never have believed before that would like to just raise up your hand with your head bowed? Just raise up your hand and stand to your feet and say, I now believe with all my heart, and I want to accept Jesus Christ right now. Would you do that? Any people that's here that haven't yet accepted Christ and would grant to do it at this time? See, that's something. Brother Branham didn't try to get people to himself.
Amen.
First of all, he felt like people need to know the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
That's still true.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Absolutely.
To get somebody saved, they need to know the Lord Jesus, not Brother Branham.
Amen.
Now, what do you do that any people that's here that haven't yet accepted and would want to do it this time? I won't tell you. You go to the church of your choice. But I'm asking you to receive Jesus Christ while you'll probably never be no closer to him until you see him in person when he comes in his visible body from the heavens. Now, you know, if Brother Branham believed what some people said he believed, why did he tell him you'll never see the Lord any closer to him than when he comes in the heavens?
Yeah.
I think it's pathetic that we have to correct some people who want to take and make Brother Branham something that he didn't even claim to be himself. And a lot of those people today, they've substituted somebody else for him now. A sermon I heard about this past week, Brother Branham foreran a preacher, and that preacher foreran somebody else, and that one foreran another group, and that one ran another one. When does this forerunning stop? I can tell them all this. If Brother Branham was used by God to forerun anybody that I've heard about, God reversed his pattern.
Yep.
He sent the greater before the lesser.
Yeah.
I hope that hurts somebody's feelings. That's believing they're something that they're not.
Yeah. Right.
You'll probably never be closer to him until you see him in person, when he comes in his visible body from the heavens. How many believe that's going to happen?
Yes.
Acts 1:11. The same Jesus that you see go away shall so come again in like manner. I believe the day will come when we shall behold him. For he shall come as he has promised to come. Called out in 1958, January the 9th, paragraph 40. Now here's where the Word of God must be revealed in truth, or it's found in error. For Jesus Christ made the promise. You're aware of that. And just as true as we're in the end time, Christ is here revealing himself. Hiding it from the eyes of the educated, the wise and the prudent, and revealing it to babes such as we'll learn. Bringing the church that's showing his manifestation, revealing himself before judgment is revealed, because he always sends an angel of mercy before he sends an angel of destruction.
Amen.
Couple of points here. This was in 1958. And Brother Branham said that the Lord was here now revealing himself.
Sure. Yes.
Now you ask some people, and they believe that happened after the seals. I say that the revealing of the Lord Jesus, according to Brother Branham's teachings, started when God started giving gifts to men.
Yes.
And when you take and put every bit of it in Brother Branham, he said, you make him Antichrist.
Right.
If you're going to claim Brother Branham had deity, I'll agree with you if you claim you got deity yourself. Because
sure.
Paul, the first church age messenger, says, what? Don't you know you are the temple of God?
Amen.
Yes.
Paul believed that.
Yes,
there were people in the book of Acts when Paul shook the snake off. They tried to make him an Apollos god. That was God in them.
Yeah.
And they recognized that.
Right.
When a supernatural thing occurs now, there's no man that's supernatural. That's God that did it.
Amen.
And that should reveal God to those people.
Yes,
it's real. It's real. I know it's real.
Yes.
Because you've been there, you've experienced it, and you've seen it.
Yes,
the night that I saw that little 7-year-old boy receive his eyesight in Houston, when I saw that little boy 6 years old with club feet, I saw him get 2 perfectly feet. That wasn't Brother Branham that did that. That was my Lord, Jesus Christ. Because Brother Branham said, Lord, if you were here, you would heal this little boy. And I believe you are here. And I did. I saw Jesus Christ reveal himself as the same in January the 23rd, 1950, as I read about in my Bible.
Amen.
Read the Bible. Read the history and see if that isn't true. Now that was in 1958 in Chicago. Now let's go to 62. God has a provided way. And this is July the 28th in paragraph 81. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not stone because they didn't know their day? If you'd have known me, you'd have known my day. They didn't know John till he was dead and buried. They didn't know Jesus till he was dead and buried. They didn't know St. Patrick, Joan of Arc, the Catholic Church burned her as a witch to the post because the woman had power in prayer and saw visions. And they said she was a fortune teller, a witch, and they burnt that woman, screaming for mercy. Oh, of course, you done penance 200 years later, dug up them priest's bodies and throwed them, but it passed by you and you didn't know it. Even the disciples said, why does the scribe say Elias must come first? They didn't even recognize John the Baptist for who he was. Goes over your head and you don't know it. Don't miss it. The Holy Spirit, Christ, is here. Now remember these two words before I leave you. The appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ is two different things.
Yes.
Christ is now appearing in the fullness of his power.
Yes.
His coming will be afterwards. His appearing before his coming.
Yes.
God be merciful.
Yes. Amen.
Now, folks, that's where a lot of the confusion is. People cannot separate the appearing of what God's doing now and has done and when he's going to come.
Yes.
Just like they can't separate the catching away of the rapture, which is the second coming, from when he's going to come back on a white horse in Revelation 19 with all of his saints behind him on white horses to set up his millennial kingdom.
Amen.
Those are two separate events.
Right.
Brother Branham says that many, many times. And people don't separate them. And that's the reason they're confused about, well, this is going to happen in the rapture, and that's going to happen when he does this. But just search the scriptures. Find out what Brother Branham believed and taught about it if you're going to follow his teachings.
Amen.
Don't say you're a follower of Brother Branham's message and then teach something that he does not teach.
That's true.
Brother Branham said, God be merciful. How many of you believe that? We need to recognize it. Now, proving his word. Paragraph 236. Now, the bridegroom, now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born, but it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called Elohim, the great Almighty, showing. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. Not no more as a church, see. Not no more. The bride is called, see. In that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together.
Yes.
Now, excuse me, but this is deep. And I believe Brother Branham was a part of this.
Yes.
A major part of it. And you see, if there were not people believing Brother Branham was Jesus Christ, he would have to repent of his ministry. Because he would not have fulfilled this portion of his ministry. There had to be people who would say, that's the Lord, that's him. And I want you to know that's the Spirit. But Brother Branham was a man sent by God to restore the faith to the believers. That they could believe that it was possible for people born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come into this world speaking lies, that were sinners, that could be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and become sons and daughters of God in their flesh.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And they do that not because they're good, not because they decide they're going to do good, not because they're going to reform, not because they're going to have New Year resolutions, but because the Spirit of God changes them.
Amen.
And they become new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Old things are passed away. Behold, old things become new. They even become justified.
Yes.
They didn't even do those things.
Amen.
The charge is removed from them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, that's good for you.
He is the Word, and the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. I don't know. Do you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come down in human flesh among us and will make His Word so real that it'll unite the church in Him as one. Here's a tape, the invisible union of the bride.
Yes, sir.
I'll just have to confess, folks, until I had an understanding and got a revelation of what God sent Brother Branham for, I claimed to be a Christian, but I didn't know what it meant to be like Jesus Christ. I thought it was just keeping the commandments, but the things that He did, we were to do also.
Amen. Yes.
The life He lived, we were to live that life.
Yes.
When Jesus said, I'll be with you, yea, even in you, to the end of the earth. If the Holy Spirit is Christ in you,
Then
you'll do what Jesus did.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
If the spirit of Hitler was in you, you'd do what Hitler did.
That's right. Amen.
If the spirit of Beethoven was in you, you'd write songs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
If the spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, is in you, you can reveal Jesus Christ to people by your lives.
Amen.
In your flesh,
Amen. Hallelujah.
They can see Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not one with nails prints in his hand and blood flowing and a thorn and a sackcloth and that, but in your life,
yes.
people can see Jesus Christ revealed.
Amen.
You know that's what you long for.
Amen.
You know that's what you desire.
Yes. Yes.
You may not even know it, but that's what you're groaning and travailing for.
Amen.
Every time a cow moves, she's saying, I want to be restored like it was in Adam's day.
Amen.
Every time a wolf howls, that's the world groaning.
Yes.
For the manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
The animal kingdom out there even knows it more than the human race knows it.
Yes.
Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real that he'll unite the church in him as one, the bride. You know what? Then we'll know to love one another.
Yes.
We won't hold anything against anybody. There'll not be one scratch of aught in our heart against anybody.
Amen.
There'll be no jealousy, envy, strife. There'll be perfect love.
Amen.
Why? Because it won't be us, but Christ in us.
Amen.
That's united.
Yes,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Lord, that's the kind of people we want to be.
Amen.
Sons of God, march forward.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
In the power of Jesus' name. Burn, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Burn in me.
Amen.
Make my life what it ought to be.
Amen.
And then she'll go home to the wedding supper.
Amen.
You got an invitation?
Yeah.
You got your wedding garment on?
Amen.
Brother Branham very plainly says that this message is a wedding garment.
Sure.
If I knew that, I'd sure want to get the same designer. Which one is next, Mark? The Revelation of Jesus Christ. 1960, December the 4th. Look how many of these happened on December the 4th, December the 5th. It's almost like August the 7th to the Jews. So many things Brother Bram said about this happened on December the 4th or December the 5th. There's about five of them. Now, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, 1960, December the 4th, beginning with paragraph 307. Now, we'll quickly get this. Now, remember, every eye shall see him. Now, that wasn't the rapture then, was it? It wasn't the rapture. It wasn't the rapture. What was he speaking to? The second coming. That's Revelation 19.
Right. Amen.
And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now, that's what Zechariah says. There come a time when he will reveal himself to his Jewish brethren. Now, where's his Gentile bride going to be? Like Joseph when he dismissed his brethren, or he dismissed his wife, Egyptian Gentile wife, and revealed himself to his brethren.
Right.
That's a type.
Yes.
Praise God.
When he takes us away and raptures us, he reveals himself to his brethren.
Yes.
What a day that'll be for Israel.
Amen.
All right. Let's go to the second seal then. No. The called out, haven't we already done that one? 1958, July the 9th, paragraph 33. Won't it be wonderful on that day? Aren't you happy today to be living to see the Son of Man revealing himself to his church? In the day that the Son of Man is revealed, what does he do? Reveal himself in mercy first. Then the next time he reveals himself in judgment. To condemn those who spurn mercy. Now it's time. He's to reveal himself. Next one. This is the second seal. We go to 63, March the 19th. For as the sun shineth on the east and to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. See? He'll appear. And it'll be a universal thing. Now, of course, when they find out that something has taken place, you see. Now remember, that will take place immediately after the going home of the church.
Amen.
after the rapture.
Yes.
The next one is Jehovah Jireh, Louisville, Mississippi, April the 4th. Now, I was there at these meetings. My wife was with me. Brother Bram was talking about the time that those men came to Abraham's tent and told him that he would visit him at the time of life and Sarah would have a son. And Abraham called him Elohim. Elohim, the all-sufficient one. Remember, immediately after that, Sodom is burned.
Right.
The church may be getting his last sign.
Yes.
You've shouted. You've had justification by Martin Luther, sanctification by Wesley. Great time shouting, rejoicing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, divine healing. But where we're at now, God's speaking right among us, through us, audible,
yes. Amen.
Just like he did then. Brother Branham was confessing that his ministry was an appearing of the Lord Jesus. So much so that he said just before this, you'll probably never be any closer to the Lord than when you see him.
Right.
You stand here tonight watching what he did. But who was it? It wasn't the Lord Jesus. It was God in Brother Branham.
Amen.
Appearing before you and I.
Yes.
Folks, I saw that.
Yes.
I heard that. I've witnessed that. What excuse will I have on that day? I saw those things. In fact, it was maybe it was a year or so ago now that I realized that, as far as I know, among the followers of Brother Branham, I'm the only living witness that was present the night that pillar of fire was taken. I didn't see the pillar of fire. But I've testified to it ever since the night it was taken. And the picture showed it. I'd say that's supernatural.
Amen.
Then when I go over here to Sunset Mountain, and we go over there where Brother Bram was hunting, and we look up there on the end of that bluff, and there's his profile there.
Amen.
Are these things coincidental?
No.
I never knew that till 69. Brother Branham never mentioned it, but I challenge anybody to go look at it.
Right.
It's sure not me up there. But you take that Houston photograph of that pillar of fire with Brother Branham's head, and you hold it up and look at it, and it's a profile of it.
Yes.
Where's he looking? Right up toward the mountain where the seven angels came down to him with the seven
Amen.
Seals.
Yes, sir. Right.
Now that does not make a believer out of you, but if you're a believer and you've heard about it, it ought to create some questions in your mind. What is this?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what it was. It was an appearing of Jesus Christ. But now where are we at? What shall we do with Jesus now called Christ? In Phoenix, 1964, January 26, paragraph 73. The Nazarite is one, what a one that separates himself for the word of God, not short wearing, painted faces, Jezebels, calling themselves Christians. No, sir, man. So wishy-washy, they'll stand for denomination, hold onto their coattails, but some Caesar or Herod instead of standing for the word of God. But God has got loyal people, genuine flock of God,
Amen.
Who don't care what the world says. They believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
And it's like I said this morning, it's regardless of how long we've said it, how much we've said, somebody says, well, the little children don't understand if you don't have a Christmas tree or you don't have Easter eggs or anything. Well, they don't understand about Halloween. You can't expect them to. Well, why can't they understand it if you'll explain it to them?
Amen.
I gave you the comparison. If you live in Africa, there's some tribes over there that believe in taking the firstborn child and throwing it to the strongest thing they know, a crocodile. Well, would you want your children to believe that? Would you be able to explain that to them, why you're not going to throw them to the crocodile? It's the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Or you mean to tell me that you don't have enough influence on your children that you can't tell them that Santa Claus is a lie?
Come on, brother.
Right.
And you don't have enough influence on your children, or should I say that this paganism has got such a hold on you You see, really the truth is the parents want to believe in Easter bunnies. They enjoy making the eggs and hide them from their little children. They don't want to tell them the truth, that that's a Babylonian heathen tradition where they had a goddess named Easter. You don't find that word in your Bible. That she had a magic rabbit that supposedly laid colored eggs that represented sex and fertility.
Yeah.
You don't want to tell your children the truth? No, you'd rather them be like everybody else in the world. Why don't you teach your children to be like you?
Amen.
And you be somebody that obeys the commandments of God.
Yes.
Why don't you be that example?
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, well, they're little and they can't understand. Well, you know what? You survived it. You grew up. You know the difference. And you want your children to walk in ignorance and follow paganism? You don't know how serious this is. It's just like when I told you folks here a few months ago about the word abracadabra. Oh, people use it, especially since Harry Potter came along. Well, it's all right. You know, it's just kids playing everything else. No, it's not. It's serious. Evil spirits travel in those names. And when you find out that abracadabra is a universal word, just like okay and hallelujah, universal in every language, abracadabra is the same. And it happens to be the Hebrew abbreviation of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Right.
Which Brother Branham said evil spirits travel in those names.
Sure.
Even the Pope says that if you've been baptized in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you've been baptized into the Roman Catholic Church.
That's right.
Oh my.
I think you need to read the Bible.
Amen.
You need to pray about it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's not the keys of the kingdom that Peter got. Repent and be baptized, every one of you.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
yes,
for the remission,
yes,
of sin.
Hallelujah.
And you shall receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, we want to do what Jesus said. Well, that's what Acts 2:38 is.
Yes.
It's the name of the manifestations of God.
Yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God chose to put His name.
Amen.
Amen.
A name above every other name.
Yes.
Now, people pray for their offerings in the name of Jesus.
Yep.
They'll pray for divine healing in the name of Jesus. But when it comes to salvation and water baptism, oh no, we don't go that way. That's oneness. That's one God. That's Jesus only. What do you mean by that? If Jesus had said, I and my Father are one.
Amen.
He's the one that said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
Have I been with you so long and you've not known me?
Uh-huh.
Well, I just don't understand. That's not what my church teaches. Well, what does the Bible teach? Now you say, I don't agree with that, Brother Green. You know the reason you don't agree with it? Because you don't have revelation of it.
Mm-hmm.
How can Jesus Christ of the New Testament be Jehovah God of the Old Testament?
Amen.
That's the mystery of God.
Amen.
And that will be finished one day.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
And the Jews will see that.
Amen.
And He will reveal Himself to His brethren.
Amen.
And in Zechariah, they'll separate themselves and cry and wail and moan. Why didn't we see that He was the Messiah?
Yes.
Someday we will see that.
Yes,
someday men will understand it. Now, this is not popular. It makes you unpopular, but it's the truth. I'm sorry. That's Brother Bram's statement about what he was teaching, what I was saying. God's command for it to be done, and God will do it. God bless you. Don't mean to scold you, but to warn you. Oh, here's something I quoted this morning. It's better be scorched than burned at any time.
Right.
So take one now. If it seemed like I scorched you just now, well, you'd rather be scorched than burned, hadn't you? All is written in the book. We'll escape it. What book? The book of life. Now we find out this: the little flock is ready for the dynamics to move it up into the skies to escape all of his tribulation. Someone said the other day when I was talking, said, Brother Branham, you don't believe then the church will go through the tribulation. I said, I believe the church will, but not the bride.
Yes, right. Amen.
The church will go through the tribulation, yes, sir, but the bride is free from it.
Amen.
She'll go in the rapture in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. She'll be caught up to meet her Lord in the air for the wedding supper. She has nothing to go through any tribulation about. Her Lord has paid her price.
Amen.
We're so thankful for that.
Amen.
You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, sir. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is there one more? A greater than Solomon in Phoenix in 1957. Go a long way back now. Before the seals, before the cloud, before a lot of the supernatural things occurred. Look what Brother Branham said. But God could not pour out His judgment upon a just people and be just Himself. They have to come to that place right at any hour that God would permit. How many times have you heard this? When that final person is saved, when the completeness of the body of Jesus has been completed, Russia could send over 102 missiles in 10 minutes' time. There wouldn't be a living thing left on this continent. And you know, He did see America destroyed.
Amen.
They don't have to fly over by plane. They can send off a rocket in Moscow and direct it to Washington and Central State in Phoenix, Arizona, and land it there, certainly. They don't have to move out of their backyard. And we've got some we could shoot back to them. And what will happen when these things take place? It's only the mercies of God as He's giving His last warning and call. Calling a Gentile people out for His name. I want to be called, don't you?
Amen.
I want to be one of them.
Amen.
Lord, make me what You want me to be.
Amen.
Make me more like Thee. Jesus, make me more like Thee. Give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like Thee. Now the Lord, the night is with His disciples, and He observed the Passover. He gave them two ordinances that night. This do in remembrance of me. The broken bread and the wine, representing His broken body and His shed blood. And then He washed the disciples' feet. And He had already told them to repent, or they need to be baptized. And then Peter gave them the keys to the kingdom, repent and be baptized. So we as Christians, we have three ordinances we obey. The first one is water baptism that we do in the presence of everybody, to testify that we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The water does not cleanse anybody of their sins or save anybody. It simply shows that we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God's Word says that when you do that, when you obey that commandment, you shall receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, people have come along and introduced evidences to that, and when you do, you tell people, well, you can't just believe what God's Word says. You've got to do this also. Well, you introduce a spirit of death into that. When you repent and you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a promise from God.
Yes.
You shall receive the Holy Ghost. Can you believe that?
Amen.
Oh, but I must do it. Who told you that? That didn't come from the Scriptures. That's somebody's theology that they've added to it. And then we observe the Lord's Supper. We take the bread and the wine. We do that normally in the presence of believers, to testify again that we believe it's the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not our works, not our goodness, not our righteousness, but Jesus paid it all. And then we wash one another's feet so that we can be disciples, because we truly love one another. I think God, in His infinite wisdom and knowledge and omniscience, He knew that we as human beings were going to be offended at each other and with each other, and have times when there'd be those that you didn't want to speak to, those you didn't love, those you had passive hatred for rather than loving them. And that somebody says, oh, I love that brother, but I don't want anything to do with him. That's not love. That's passive hatred. But Jesus said, as I, your master, have washed your feet, so should you wash one another's. And I challenge anybody. You take somebody that you got something against, and you get out and wash their feet. And something will happen. If you just don't go through it as a ritual. Now, because we as believers in this church, we have these ordinances, we're called a cult. Because we've got some kind of a ceremony we do, and do you know they even take their shoes off and wash one another's feet? Well, if you've never been offended anybody or have anybody offended you, you probably don't need this. But I think it's a very good cure for a lot of the carnality and the offenses and the embarrassments that we have among us. It eliminates prejudice. And so God in His grace and mercy gave us these three ordinances. Water baptism, the Lord's Supper. We take it at night because it's supper, not lunch, not breakfast. We use real wine because it won't spoil. We use unleavened bread, not a little round wafer, because His body was broken and torn. And it's all symbols. But I will tell you this, Brother Brown talked of just healing in His cup. It's almost blasphemy for somebody to come and say, well, now, I don't want to drink after somebody else. I want you to know you don't have to worry about anything that comes out of this cup.
Amen.
Not if we ask God to bless it and it has the right spirit. In fact, if you're sick, you can leave here healed.
Yes.
See, I don't believe that evil spirits which cause sickness can abide where there's faith and people believe. You come here and you believe when the brother anoints you with oil or gives you the communion, and you believe, then when you leave here, you need to continue to praise God and not let that spirit come back on you. You say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I've asked Brother Newton Bennett if he would conduct the ordinances for us tonight. So if he'll come, we'll yield the service to him. Yes, make me more like Thee.